Chapter 11 Smiles and Safety. After her prayer, Rennie sat on her bed with her legs hanging over the side and her eyes staring at the pink and purple flowers on the wall. What could she do? There was an untidy stack of common books on a table and some jacks and paper dolls scattered around the floor. How come Mama hadn't told her to clean them up? She should do it just the same, but she had too many bad things to think about. Anyway, soon she'd have to set the table for supper. She got down on the floor and fiddled with paper dolls. "You're stupid," they said to each other. "You're stupid, I hate you." Before she knew it, she found the dolls slapping against each other. One of them was Julie and one of them was her. Fighting. "Come eat," Mama's call from the kitchen shook her out of her play. She ran downstairs. The table was already set, and Loretta was just washing her hands. "Didn't you help cook?" Rennie asked in surprise. "No, didn't you?" Rennie didn't answer that. She just wondered why Mama was doing the work by herself. Again, she felt lonely. She missed the time she spent with Mama, even if often it was in setting the table. And she didn't like Mama being different than before. The family barely spoke as they sat to the table. Mama asked Serge to say grace, which he did. Then he bent his head over his beans and sausage. It made Rennie squirm. Serge had not even noticed the shamrock tablecloth Mama had used. "Hey, Serge," Rennie said, "look at the tablecloth." "So? It's the shamrock one." "So?" "Well, you hate it, 'cause it's for the Irish and not the Italians. You always say Mama shouldn't use it." "We have other troubles, Rennie." He aimed a sorrowful look toward the end of the table where Papa should be. "Ma," he said, "Papa loves Italy, but didn't he know about Mussolini?" "What does Mussolini have to do with Italy?" "He's the leader," Loretta perked up. "One man does not make a country." Loretta wasn't convinced. "Anyway, we're really Canadian." "We're really both," said Serge, sadly for Papa. Rennie frowned. What language did her family speak? Why was Papa arrested? And who were the people she loved so much? Wasn't it obvious? She had to say it. Only Italian things are good. As she said it, the smiling eyes of Mrs. Byrne appeared to her. But Mama cut in. "That's a foolish way to talk, Signorina." She gave Rennie a hard, steady look that forced her to lower her eyes. Rennie had meant it when she first said it. But was she being a little like Hitler? There was silence after that. Rick looked thoughtful, with his hands around a glass of Papa's red wine, and he caught Rennie's eyes and smiled. But the wine reminded her of Mr. McLean and Papa's arrest and Hitler. Frightening thoughts that filled the quiet. Would no one talk? "I'm tired of the same old food every night." That would get Mama talking. "How come we can't have lasagna or uso buccio?" "That's my favorite." Uso buccio was a delicious veal stew made with spices and wine, and Rennie knew it cost too much. "You know why?" said Mama. "Well, this is boring. Are you looking for a fight?" At that, Rennie knew she'd better be quiet. She looked at her plate and felt her nose squinch up. She was only trying to liven things up. Mrs. Hobinski, Mrs. Byrne, and Sergeant McPhee were all lively people and all talked even if she didn't. And they made her feel good. "Were people friendly today?" Rick asked her. "Not everybody." She was glad that he spoke. "But I wasn't very friendly either. Tomorrow I'm going to smile a whole lot and talk a lot. And I'm going to make twice as many breadsticks." Rick rubbed the back of his head and narrowed his eyes for a minute. Then he said, "I think that will be too much work. Besides, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just not a good time for people." She felt her prickles stand up. "Don't tell me what to do. Renetta, upstairs," ordered Mama. Robbie grinned, and Rennie gave him a nasty look. She carried her half-eaten sausage and beans to the counter and went to her room. Well, she had been unfriendly, after all. And to her own family, she stood in front of the mirror, wondering how she could spread enough friendliness to stop the war. "Do you want any breadsticks?" she said to the mirror. "No," said the mirror. She tried again, smiling, tilting her head a little, sounding so polite. "I have some delicious fresh breadsticks that I made myself. Will you be interested in buying some?" She tried to be the people with their doors wide open. "Yes, I would. How nice. What a lovely idea. I'll buy them all." She changed her smiles. Wide ones, little ones, teeth showing, teeth covered, eyes large, eyes slanted. "I'll buy them all. I'll buy them all. I'll buy them all." Her smiles turned to frowns. Nothing seemed quite right. She lay down on her bed. With her eyes half closed, she saw the big strong doors swing toward her. It was as if she knew that the selling would get worse, and it did. Each day, fewer people bought her breadsticks, until one day she strangled into her backyard and dropped her bag on the ground without caring about it. In it were 10 nickels and 14 bundles of breadsticks. Every "no thank you" had sounded like a storm. She looked over the garden from a distance. It was comforting, green from one end to the other, with soft leaves at different heights, cheery flowers here and there, and a light, sweet fragrance that hovered over everything. Papa could be proud of that. Her frown turned upwards, without her knowing, and she went to start weeding. She crawled up and down the rows, pulling out seedlings as tiny as her pinky fingernail, until finally her legs ached and she sat back to rest. There, in front of her, was a taller weed. How had she missed it? She reached to yank it out, but then she stopped herself. She eased out carefully by the roots. She pulled off leaves one by one. "It's an explosive like in the war. I have to take it apart piece by piece so it won't hurt anyone, and I have to be very careful or it will blow me apart." She knelt by a tomato plant and felt the refreshing earth under the palm of her hand. She packed it against the roots of the plant. "Good night, little child in the war. I can keep you safe from the soldiers and bombs." She sprayed fine mist of water everywhere. It was rain in the forest where Papa chopped wood each day, drenching him. "No, I'm clouds raining on the gardens at Petawawa so Papa will have good healthy food." "Were there gardens at Petawawa?" She watered the spot where the bracelet was buried, making it sink deeper and deeper into the soil where it would never be found. Could she really make it sink? Robbie came zipping across the grass on his bicycle. "Why are you watering there?" He let the bike fall heavily as he jumped to the ground. She was startled out of her dreams, nearly yelling because Julie deserves it. Luckily, she didn't. "I'm just finishing." "Where have you been? You haven't helped in a week." So, she almost continued the argument. But then she remembered she was going to be nice. For Papa, for Mama, for the whole angry world. Anyway, who needed Robbie? The garden was looking good by her own efforts. Even if the bread selling was going badly, suddenly she had an idea. "Please finish watering the beans, Robbie. I've got to do something." She handed him the hose and went to the shed for stakes and a roll of burlap. Papa had everything he needed for gardening, placed around in an orderly fashion. She took some scissors, cut off a wide piece of burlap, and found string. Out in the garden, Robbie was poking his fingers in the spray of water that came from the hose. It splashed everywhere except on the beans. Rennie bit her tongue and walked to the tomato vine at the far end of the row. With the end of the scissors, she banged three stacks into the soil to make a square corner around the north side of the plant. She thought the north winds were coldest. "What are you doing?" Robbie knotted his face together. "Making a windbreak." "A what?" "It protects the plant from the winds." He was looking at sounding just like a toad. But Rennie put her mind on her work. How could she tie the floppy cloth to the stakes so it didn't drag to the ground and so it ended up straight? Like a flat curtain going around a corner. She gathered it up. It was long and scratchy with see-through holes between all the threads. It had a weird straw smell. She liked it. She stretched most of it over two stacks and poked a string through some of its holes at an end. This she tied around the top of the first stake. She tied the middle and other end to the remaining stakes in the same manner. Robbie gave her a strange look, then dropped the hose so the spray should shot towards the sky. "Dumb," he yelled, grabbing his bike and riding off. Rennie stood back to check her work. A little wrinkle, but not bad. She flattened it all over, making it hang as evenly as possible. Then she poked more string through holes and tied it tightly to each stake and six places. She looked the whole thing over with her lips together and her hands on her hip. She had a good strong screen she'd made herself. It felt and looked like the earth and made a cozy corner for her tomato plant. She rubbed one of the plant's leaves between her fingers. "You're my special tomato vine. I'll make you grow the biggest tomatoes Papa ever saw. By the time the rip, he'll be home."